paying for the privilege of gathering together and worship. Pastor Stephanie, I don't know what's under my voice. Maybe it's like I won't be able to preach today. Anyway. She will be with us next Sunday. In the way of announcements, let me say, I know Colleen has one.
Yes.
If you'd like to.
The Centennial Committee has finally got something on the burner, so to speak, and you'll have a sheet in front of you that kind of explains. Did you get one, Jim?
Yes.
Kind of explains how this will work, and I'll explain in my terminology how it will work for Bill and me. Bill and I will sign the first brick as Bill and Colleen Payne, and the second brick we will buy. It's for the handbell choir, and we'll say 2002. If we were still in Colorado at our old church, we would probably add, because our daughter was involved with that church, she's not involved with this church, we would probably add her name. So the first brick would be Bill and Colleen Payne and Rochelle Andreset. The second brick that we would be buying, if we were in Colorado, as an example, would be Rochelle and TC and Isabel and Will Undersack. The third brick that I would be buying if we were in Colorado would be Handbell Choir 2002. And I would put in $100, which would mean that the church or the committee would get the extra $10 to use in whatever method that they would like. That being, they might help somebody buy a brick, or it might go towards one of the other known entities such as Kids Shop or the Angels or whatever else. So in our case, we're buying three bricks for $90 and we're donating $10 to help the church, Centennial Committee. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory, except there's a couple questions that came this morning. Extra brick, that means that you're buying the extra brick for $10, but your total is $100. Is that clear? Each brick is $30.
So do we take these bricks home with us then?
No, we're going to throw them to you.
Well, they all got a place for the deluge that we had last night. Everybody got water in their basement, I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I worked with two people this morning, and they all had water in their basement.
You didn't have water.
Yeah. The lightning and thunder was scary.
Well, one other question related to that. We think that the brick patio will be put near the north door. That's still being discussed. And those two bushes probably will be taken out, but it's still being discussed. And we'll make a brick patio on both sides of that door. And we're also talking about making a brass plaque that will join or be on the side of the big, huge rock that was dug out of the basement 30 years ago, or whatever it was. Now, any more questions about the brick? See me at you if you have any more questions.
Okay, thank you, Colleen. Does anyone have a birthday today besides Colleen?
I hope not.
Then let's sing happy birthday.
Okay.
So they want more responses on those. They're I think sometimes they're not getting in. Maybe we should take 10 minutes after worship and fill them out. Any other announcements? Okay, all of you should have the Settings 10 Festival. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. And at the river your Son was baptized by John, anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Sing the first hymn.
Thank you.
almighty creator and ever-living God. We worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in the endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Congregation, may be seated. One thing I forgot to do was introduce some guests. We have Jim and Deidre Swenson here from Vancouver, Washington. They're good friends of Nancy and me and our presenters at Marriage Encounter. And then, you know, in the South, they have snowbirds. We have mountain birds that have returned. We'd like to welcome you guys back again. Good to see you. Okay, we'll have the reading of the first lesson.
Today's first reading comes from the sixth chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. In that year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 29 responsibly today. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory to God's name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and the Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord blurts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness with ash.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord all are saying, Glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. Today's second reading comes from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning with the 12th verse. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, they're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The winds blow where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. We ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Does this microphone work?
Yes.
We got just two of you guys today. I want you to use the microphone here. Hold it. And I want you to think about all the animals that God created. And some of them that you can think of, I want you to use the microphone the same so everyone in the congregation can hear you. What animals do you like or think of?
Horses. Snakes.
Snakes? Oh, wow. Okay. What else?
Dogs.
Cats.
Cows.
Tigers.
Chickens.
Lions.
Bears.
Lizards.
Can you think of some more?
Sheep.
Goats. Are you
pigs?
Pigs. Okay, Smarty, you name a few.
Cows.
Cows.
Donkeys.
Donkeys. Okay, have you ever thought about how much fun God had creating animals? He didn't mention a giraffe with a long neck Or an elephant with a long trunk? Or what about an anteater? We don't have them around here, but what do they do? They got a long tongue that goes out and grabs ants and...
Ostriches.
What?
Ostriches.
Ostriches, yeah. And what about some animals from Australia?
Kangaroo.
Kangaroos carry koalas. Something in their pouch?
Koalas.
Koalas?
Platypuses.
Platypus.
Platypuses?
Yeah, platypuses. And we haven't gone to the birds or the fish. What about mosquitoes? No one wants to. Well, mosquitoes feed birds, okay?
Mistake.
What?
Mistake.
Mistake.
Wrong answer. Anyway. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for all the animals you created, the wildlife, things that make interesting life interesting and fun. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, wait, you didn't get to say any. No. Been debating the whole service whether I should stand up here or go down there like Pastor Stephanie does, and I decided to go up here. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It's the only Sunday in our whole calendar that is based on a doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity or Triunity. We talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by the way, we don't find that word Trinity in the Bible. It's something that we come up with based on everything that the Bible teaches us. And so we begin with God the Father, who we call the Creator. Talked about some of the things He created. Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And not only did He do that at the beginning, but He continues to create to this day. You know, last week I had all sorts of flowers at my place from the fruit trees that were in bloom, and it was just gorgeous. And I got to tell you, we made a quick trip down to Arizona this last week, and it is dry down there. They've closed the forests even to people being in them. And we got to Wyoming, and it's green and beautiful and wonderful here, so we're really blessed. At our place, we have birds. Do you know how noisy birds are when they're making nests and getting ready to have young ones? They're really noisy. And it's a time when the gardens are growing. You know, we've had asparagus and rhubarb and things like that growing and other things that we're planting. In this congregation, we've had a new baby added to the life of this congregation. If you walk around, or if you drive around the country, you'll see calves hopping around, you know, as cute as they are. This is part of God's creation. Or we mentioned dogs and cats or puppies and kittens, if you have little ones being born, and maybe other forms of animal life. Life is really beautiful, and God has created it. I would suggest to you, some of you might disagree with me, that volcanoes are ways of giving life. Even in Hawaii, as we have this one erupting, is that not life, that the lava comes out? And we complain about it because it destroys some of the things that we've made, but it also makes more land and more fertile. Eventually it becomes fertile for growing stuff. I think we forget sometimes that God has a sense of humor and that He enjoyed creating the world and everything in it. We could spend the whole morning just naming and thinking of plants and animals and how things work and go together, all that stuff. God did this. John 1:1 tells us, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if you substitute Jesus' name for word here, it's really saying, and Jesus is the word, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Now we think of Jesus coming onto the scene when? Christmas time, right? But John says, in the beginning, Jesus was there with God creating things. And so we want to look at Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Again, reading from John, the first four verses there. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. Now, we think of the various Gospels, Matthew and Luke give us birth stories about Jesus. Mark, does anyone remember where Mark starts? He starts with John the Baptist in the wilderness. We have no birth stories with him. And John just tells us, in the beginning, Jesus was with God. So we're saying, how can Jesus be creating when he hadn't come yet? And I think one of my conclusions anyway is that God doesn't make sense. It does. You know, how can you be one person and three? Or three and one? You know what I mean? Now, I think that's where we realize that we are finite human beings and God is infinite. God can do and be anything he wants to, and we just have to try to understand even if we don't. But there was a problem, as we know, and us as human beings are sinful people. There's no way we could go to heaven, and so God sent his Son to be our Savior. And imagine God talking to Jesus, you know, I'm thinking of as two persons, I guess, in a way, but he said, now you've got to go to earth, and you're going to be born a baby just like a normal human being. You're going to be a child just like normal human beings, grow up into being an adult. And then, so Jesus had his ministry amongst us as he was here. Jesus died on the cross for us. And then this is our passage from... Don't get all choked up over this, Mona. This is our passage from John 3. It says, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, just as a review, you remember the children of Israel went from Egypt, where they're in slavery. They were on their way through the wilderness to the promised land. And one of the places where they were staying on their journey, we know that there was snakes that came in amongst them and bit people and killed them. And so the people came to Moses complaining, if God really loved us, why did he allow this to happen? You know, we never say those things about God, do we? You know, if God was God, if he really loved us, why would he allow whatever it is to happen that happened? But this is the people, and Moses goes to God, and God says, put up a staff in the middle of the camp, and on it put the image of a serpent. And so anyone that's bitten, they look at that image, and they will not die. And so John is saying here then, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so we know that God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He ascended into heaven. And then you remember last Sunday, which we celebrated as, what was it? Pentecost, thank you. As we celebrate as Pentecost Sunday, we had the verse where from John where Jesus says, but I will not leave you alone when I ascend to heaven. I will send my Holy Spirit to be with you. And so when did the Holy Spirit come then? As we celebrate on Pentecost, right? But if you go and read in the first chapter of Genesis, it says the Spirit of God blew over the waters of the deep. And so the scriptures also saying that the Holy Spirit was also present in the beginning, creating. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all involved doing this creation, and we say this is one person. If you know your Old Testament history very well, you will know that God's Spirit came to rest on people for a while and then sometimes was withdrawn from them. For example, Samuel, God's Spirit rested on him. Remember King Saul? He said God's Spirit rested on him. And then King Saul fell out of favor with God and his spirit was taken away from King Saul. So we have his Spirit given in cases and taken away in others. And then you remember when Jesus was baptized, it said the Holy Spirit came down like a dove when he was baptized in the wilderness. And we have the celebration of that then. But the Holy Spirit is given to us then, as Pentecost, not to be given and taken away, but given to us permanently. And so Jesus has not left us alone and said, well, make out the best you can. He said, no, my Holy Spirit's with you now. And it's that Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the energy and the love that we need to do the work that God has called us to do in his church here on earth. So we think of the Holy Spirit as being present in doing that. You remember Matthew 28, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And then what does Jesus say? And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And then I can't forget the Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. If nothing else, when I taught confirmation, they had to memorize the meanings to all three articles, but especially this one. And so listen to what it says. Sometimes the translation is different, so that's why I'm using my catechism, not because I don't remember it. But I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot come to Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. By myself, I can't even believe. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in union with Jesus, for the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, and that's what we are a part of it as this congregation, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. And on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. And so we see on this Sunday then that God is beyond our comprehension, but he's the witness of the Scripture is towards the Trinity. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are God and not us. We thank you even that we don't understand you, but we thank you that you love us, that you've come to be with us, and that you live in us and through us. As your work is done in this world, so you do it through us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. We will continue with the next hymn. confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as you have on page 6 in your worship folder. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
May be seated for the prayers.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Abba, when we cry to you, your Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Give to your church the confidence of the children of God, so that we boldly share with everyone your world-saving love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
The whole earth is full of your glory. Cities teem, fields flourish, mountains soar, and waters abound. Blot out our sin of spoiling your creation. Send us to go for you, mending what is torn and tattered in your world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You so loved the world that you gave your only Son. In these days, when nation condemns nation, save us. Give us strength and fill us with your justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your people cry out to you, seeking the goodness and hope of your holiness. Let the wind of your Spirit blow into the lives of all who suffer from injustice, want, or anguish of any kind, especially those who name before you now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In our living and in our dying, we belong to you. In loving remembrance, we honor those who live with scars or have died defending our nation. Beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and teach us your ways. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With affection, we remember the saints now departed and rejoice in their faithful witness, especially John Calvin, renewer of the church. Through their example, provoke us to holy lives of loving service in your name. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
May share the peace at this time.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
give me a clean heart. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join through our unending hymn. Disciples saying, take and eat, this is my body given for you, do this for the remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Loretta will lead us in the Lord's Prayer. You may join her in singing with that if you so choose.
Thank you.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Communion, you may kneel or stand for communion. I'll give you a blessing after everyone's received it, so when you're done with communion, you may go back to your seat. Congregation may be seated.
congregation please stand. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the good of life, of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Yeah.